Chapter 10. Some rhythmic text, but one sits with them whom they don't mark, one I'm wishing could not be there. No, not whom you knew and name. And now I discern gay diners in a mansion place, and the guests dropping with pert, prim, or choice, and the hostess's tender and laughing face, and the host's bland brow. I cannot help hearing a hollow voice, and I'd fain not hear it there. No. It's not from the stranger you met once. Ah, yet a goodlier scene than that succeeds. People on a lawn, quite a crowd of them. Yes, and they chatter, and ramble as fancy leads. And they say, hurrah! To a blithe speech made, say one, mirthless, who ought not to be there. Nay, it's not the pale form your imagings raise, that waits on us all at a destined time. It is not the fourth figure the furnace showed, oh that it were such a shape sublime, in these latter days. It is that under which best lives corrode. Would it could not be there. Logs on the hearth a memory of a sister, the fire advances along the log of the tree we felled, which bloomed and bore striped apples by the peck till its last hour of bearing knelled. The fork that first my hand would reach, and then my foot in climbings upward inch by inch, lies now sawn, sapless, darkening with soot. Where the bark chars is where, one year, it was pruned, and bled then overgrew the wound. But now, at last, its growings all have stagnated. My fellow climber rises dim from her chilly grave just as she was, her foot near mine on the bending limb, laughing, her young brown hand a wave. December 1915. The sunshade, ah, it's the skeleton of a lady's sunshade, here at my feet in the hard rock's chink, merely a naked sheaf of wires. 20 years have gone with their livers and deer since it was silked in its whiter pink. Noonshine riddles the ribs of the sunshade, no more a screen from the weakest ray, nothing to tell us the hue of its dyes, nothing but rusty bones as it lies in its coffin of stone, unseen till today. Where is the woman who carried that sunshade up and down this seaside place? Little thumb standing against its stem, thoughts perhaps bent on a love stratagem, softening yet more the already soft face. Is the fair woman who carried that sunshade a skeleton just as her property is, laid in the chink, that none may scan? And does she regret, if regret does, can the vain things thought when she flourished this? Swainage Cliffs. The aging house, when the walls were red, that now are seen to be overspread with a moldy green, a fresh fair head would often lean from the sunny casement and scan the scene, while blithely spoke the wind to the little sycamore tree. But storms have raged those walls about, and the head has aged that once looked out, and zest is sewaged, and trust is doubt, and slow effacement is rife throughout, while fiercely girds the wind at the long-limbed sycamore tree. The caged goldfinch. Within a churchyard, on a recent grave, I saw a little cage, that jailed a goldfinch. All was silence save its hops from stage to stage. There was inquiry in its wistful eye, and once it tried to sing, of him or her who placed it there, and why, no one knew anything. At Madame Tussaud's in Victorian years, that same first fiddler who leads the orchestra tonight here fiddled 4 decades of years ago. He bears the same babe-like smile of self-centered delight, same trinket on watch chain, same ring on the hand with the bow. But his face, if regarded, is woefully wanner and drier, and his once dark beard has grown straggling and gray. Yet a blissful existence he seems to have led with his lyre, in a trance of his own, where no wearing or tearing at sway. Mid these wax figures, who nothing can do, it may seem that to do, but a little thing counts a great deal, to be watched by kings, counselors, queens, may be flattering to him, with their glass eyes longing they too could wake notes that appeal. Ah, but he played staunchly that fiddler whoever he was, with the innocent heart and the soul-touching string. May he find the fair haven. For did he not smile with good cause? Yes. Gamuts that graced 40 years' flight were not a small thing. The ballet, they crushed together a rustling heap of flesh of more than flesh, a heap of souls, and then they part, enmesh, and crush together again, like the pink petals of a too sanguine rose frightened shut just when it blows. Though all alike in their tinsel livery, and indistinguishable at a sweeping glance, they muster, maybe, as lives wide in irrelevance, a world of her own as each one underneath, detached as a sword from its sheath. Daughters, wives, mistresses, honest or false, sold, bought, hearts of all sizes, gay, fond, gushing, or penned, various in thought of lover, rival, friend, links in a one-pulsed chain, all showing one smile, yet severed so many a mile. The five students, the sparrow dips in his wheel-rut bath, the sun grows passionate-eyed, and boils the dew, to smoke by the paddock path. As strenuously we stride, five of us, dark he, dark she, I, all beating by. The air is shaken, the high road hot, shadowless swoons the day, the greens are sobered, and cattle at rest, but not we on our urgent way, four of us, fair she, fair he, I, are there, but one elsewhere. Autumn molds the hard fruit mellow, and forward still we press through moors, briar meshed plantations, clay pits yellow, as in the spring hours, yes, three of us. Fair he, fair she, I, as heretofore, but fallen one more. The leaf drops. Earthworms draw it in at nighttime noiselessly, the fingers of birch and beech are skeleton thin, and yet on the beat are we, two of us. Fair she, one. But no more left, to go the track we know. Icicles tack the church aisle leads, the flag rope gibbers hoarse, the homebound foot folk wrap their snow-flaked heads, yet I still stalk the course, one of us. Dot dot dark and fair he, dark and fair she, gone, the rest anon. The wind's prophecy, I travel on by barren farms, and gulls glint out like silver flecks against a cloud that speaks of wrecks, and bellies down with black alarms. I say, hus from my lady's arms I go, those arms I love the best. The wind replies from dip and rise, nay, toward her arms thou journeyest. A distant verge morosely gray appears, while clots of flying foam break from its muddy monochrome, and a light blinks up far away. I sigh. Why eyes now as all day behold her even loops of hair? Like bursting bonds the wind responds, nay, wait for tresses flashing fair. From tides the lofty coastland screen come smitings like the slam of doors, or hammerings on hollow floors, as the swell cleaves through caves unseen. Say I, hawk brought this wild Terran, her city home is matched of none. From the hoarse skies the wind replies, thou shouldst have said her seaboard one. The all-prevailing clouds exclude the one quick timorous transient star. The waves outside where breakers are huzzle like a mad multitude. Where the sun ups it, mist imbued, I cry, there reigns the star for me. The wind outshrieks from points and peaks. Here, westward, where it downs, meany. Yonder the headland, vulturin, snores like old Scrymer in his sleep, and every chasm and every steep blackens as wakes each pharaoh's shine. I roam, but one is safely mine, I say. Odd grant she stay my own. Low laughs the wind, as if it grinned. Thy love is one thou's not yet known. Rewritten from an old copy. During wind and rain, they sing their dearest songs, he, she, all of them, yea, treble and tenor and bass, and one to play, with the candles mooning each face. Da da da, no, the years, oh, how the sick leaves reel down in throngs. They clear the creeping moss elders and juniors' eye, making the pathways neat and the garden gay, and they build a shady seat. Da da da, no, the years, the years. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.